number 264. 264.
First John chapter 4. In the morning prayer meeting, and we had the expression or words, God is love, brought before us. We also had in the morning the foundation. And the ultimate foundation of everything is what God is. Everything comes from the flows from what God is. And the two things that are presented to us that God is are God is light, 1 John 1, and God is love, 1 John 4. And in the fourth chapter, we also have Christ presented to us as part of that foundation, as we had this morning, put in contrast to Satan, who has a false foundation presented to us as well. And so with that in mind, I would suggest we continue along the line of what we had this morning. We also had in John 17 this afternoon, keep in thy name. Father, keep in thy name, and it's what God is, his name, that is the foundation of our keeping.
1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
First 6 verses of this chapter, we have two voices speaking. And those two voices speak to every one of us in this room constantly. One is the voice of God, the other is the voice of the world. And we're all listening in one way or another to one of the two voices in our lives. And if we're not hearing the voice of God, then it's because we're not part of his family. We're not a child of God. On the other hand, the world is listening, and it's listening to a voice which is not of God. It's really of Satan. And it listens to that voice, and because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God come into this world, the foundation on which our souls and our salvation rest. We either have that foundation, which is Christ, or the world is presenting to us a false foundation, which is figured here in the Antichrist. And it's in the world, and it has a voice, and it says, rest your life, rest your soul on me. God says, rest your life, rest your soul on my Son. And each one of us either listens to the voice of God and the Spirit in that voice, or if we don't know God, we may be listening to the voice of the deceiver of our souls that will ultimately take us to an eternity in separation from God.
You have in verses 4, 5, and 6, in 4 you have the children of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What characterizes a child of God is he's indwelt of the Holy Spirit. And then we have in verse 5, those that are of the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And then in verse 6, we have the we of the apostles that we were talking about earlier in this conference. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So you have the ye, the children of God. Ye are of God, little children. You have the enemy, those of the world. They are of the world, and therefore the world speaks, and they hear that. And then you have the absolute authority of truth. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And so we have the three that are mentioned here. The children of God, either they listen to the world or they listen to those who are the apostles of the truth that we have before us. The way we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is by listening to the word that comes from the apostles and prophets that God has sent. The word of God, in other words, that's our authority. That's what gives us stability and the ability to divide between truth and error.
The Apostle Paul distinguished that in the book of Corinthians. In fact, he began that book by explaining the different kind of wisdom. He started off by explaining to them the wisdom of this world, because the assembly there were quite greatly influenced by the wisdom of this world. And just like we have today, we too, even among us, we're influenced by the wisdom of this world, and sometimes we applied a lot of the worldly principle inside the assembly. But then we find the apostle said, by the wisdom of this world, what did they do? They crucified our Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? So that's what the wisdom of the world is. But then there's another kind of wisdom. That's the carnal wisdom. That's from within our heart, from within our flesh, that we think things ought to be right by our own standard. That wisdom is no good neither, is it? And we need to listen and see the wisdom from above, that is through the Spirit of God.
John 14, this Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. But there is what is called the Spirit of Error. And there's a very definite working in this world of the Spirit of Error. It's amazing to think of the force that is behind false religion. There's a definite spirit there that works. May the Lord help us to discern by His precious word. There is no other way to be kept but having the truth before us. How important it is to be reading the scriptures, to have the testimony of the apostles before us so that we will be able to try the spirits, whether they are of God or whether they are of this world. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's true today. Many false prophets. Many that say they are under the banner of what is Christian, but really are completely off the true foundation. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, do not hold the truth as to who Jesus is. They're completely off the foundation, even though they use those names that we hold dear. Completely off the foundation. So there is a definite spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit so that we can discern this, to try the spirits. In chapter 2 of this epistle, notice, I think it's so beautiful because he's writing to the children, the little children in the family of God, those that are least in their growth, in their spiritual growth, and he says in verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How could those children know all things? Because of the unction, the Holy Spirit, His anointing, not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. It's knowing the true thing. You don't have to study all the intricacies of counterfeit bills. What they have to do is know the true thing. And then the counterfeit will stand out. So it is with us. Oh, the preciousness of the simplicity of the truth of God.
In 2 John verse 9, very important verse. Whosoever transgresseth, or the new translation more correctly gives it, goes forward beyond what is written, and bringing in the opinions of men. Whosoever goes forward and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. He is the foundation truth of all Scripture. Hath not God. If one comes to you and they want to get you into a discussion of your opinion and their opinion, the foundation is as one solid on the truth of the person of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone come to you and bring not this doctrine, if they're a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or any of these false religions, they do not hold to and bring the doctrine of Christ, who Christ is. I remember I took the elevated and I had to change trains that kept in the L and the others that went underground. And right there was a theological seminary that used to be sound, but they had made progression under the power of Satan, and they weren't sound anymore. And I was talking to this man. He was evidently one of the instructors there, and he got on the train with me, and he asked me, well, what do you believe? And I gave him all these foundation truths that we believe, and he smiled And he said, that's nice. But now you have to go forward into the deeper things. And those going forward and those deeper things are nothing but damnable error. And that's what John is warning against. He did not hold to, with all the knowledge that he had, he did not hold to the truth as to who the Lord Jesus very is. He is very God and very man. And if we don't ever want to get into a religious discussion with anyone if they're not sound on the person of Christ. That's the foundation truth that we begin with. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's what John is talking about when he says in verse 6 of our chapter, we are of God. We apostles and prophets are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. That is those that have given us the word of God. So if you get into a discussion with someone like that, the authority is the word of God. That's where the doctrine of Christ is. That's where the we comes from in that verse. The ye is us, Christians. The they are those of the world. And the we are of God. That's what we test everything by the word of God. Not by our thinking, not by any of that, but by the word of God.
The we in verse 6 is the apostles, right?
The apostles.
Yes, they gave us that doctrine. I think it's good to see, too, in verse 2, in connection with testing these spirits, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. What he's saying here is that when he says it is come, that Jesus was and is the eternal Son of God. And then, like you say, he became man. He became flesh. He became flesh through the Virgin Mary. But he is the eternal Son of God. God in every sense of the word. But he became a man. Those two cardinal truths about the person of the Lord Jesus are very fundamental.
F.E. Raven was a teacher among brethren in the 1890s, and he originally taught that Jesus was the eternal Son of God, but he gave that up, and he no longer taught that he was the eternal Son of God, and that's fundamental error. And there are, sad to say, many that were teaching, good sound teachers too, but if they don't hold to that, that's not the doctrine of Christ. As you say, he never became the Son of God. He was always the Son of God, but he became the Son of Man. A true man, very God and very man. And if you don't hold that, you are not sound in the faith. You don't have God.
It's nice to see the Trinity at work here. We talk about the love of God. We know that the Son came because of love, to exhibit God as love. And then we find that just before the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God leave this world, he promised that a Comforter would come. Perhaps we can just turn to some of these verses here. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. When the Lord Jesus said that, at that time the Comforter of the Spirit hasn't come, because until the Lord Jesus gone back up to the Father's throne, the Spirit couldn't come. So after that, we know on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers. Just for brevity, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We find that In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 16, the apostle raised a question to them, and he says, "Know ye not?" And I think that's important for us too. Do we not know this? He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Well, how do we know if those other spirits are false? Well, because we have the Spirit dwelleth in us. Let's go to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And we'll find that the apostle go even a little bit stronger in verse 16. He said, "What? Know ye not that..." Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 15. Sorry, I lost the thought there. Oh, verse 19. "What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own?" We find in the third chapter it referred to the assembly that the Holy Ghost dwell. Now in the sixth chapter, individual as we are being indwelled by the Holy Ghost. Well, how does the Holy Ghost function and help us? Let's perhaps just spend another minute or so. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We find that as a believer, we are given something even more. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Oh, how precious to know that here ye, as our brother already explained in Scripture, when we see ye, that's us as Gentiles, believer. After we believe from the Word of God, we were sealed with the Holy Ghost. We have that stamp of approval, as if it were, that belongs to Him. We are His and sealed by that Holy Ghost. And then the next verse tells us even more, verse 14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Well, here it tells us that we're going to be unto the praise of His glory. But what about for now? It says for now, it says the Holy Spirit is proof of that earnest. Earnest. It's like perhaps some of the younger young men here, or perhaps older one, are familiar with, say, buying a house. You know, you go buy a house, often you do not move into that house right away. You go in and you say, "I like your house." You make an arrangement for the price, and then you give them some earnest money, don't you? You give them some deposit, and that consummates a transaction. Well, you don't have the house yet for a little while until the transaction is completed. So at the meantime, you can go tell your friends that that is your house. You will be moving into it. Here, the Spirit, as if it were, have put down that deposit, that earnest, to let us know that we are going to be the praise of His glory. How precious to know that. We've been sealed, then we have that earnest, so that we know our home is no longer here. Our home is heavenly in the Father's house. But is that enough? No, it's just more than that for us to help us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life." Spirit with a capital S. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man, and for sin condemned the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Oh, now we have that Spirit of life that help us to walk in the way pleasing to God, directing us that way. And perhaps let me repeat one more our brother mentioned just to complete the thought. and then back to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, then the Spirit gave us that unction. The unction of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 2. Let's read that verse again. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Do we really know all things? No, but he will let us know, wouldn't he? And when we walk and be filled with the Spirit, there will be times that you may not really know, but you do know. You will know that it's not the shepherd's voice. You will know that it's something that's not pleasing or is pleasing to the Lord. And then here we can come back to our chapter and say, hereby in verse 2, know ye the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit, then it's much easier, isn't it, to discern the other spirit. When we're filled with Christ, then we know here that if it's anything that does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh of God, is not God, and the Spirit helped us with our daily walk.
Notice, this is so important, notice the third verse of our chapter 4, and look at it very carefully. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's the incarnation. It would make no sense that Bob Tony came in the flesh, or Don Rule came in the flesh, or Chuck Hendricks came in the flesh. That's the only way we could come. But it says that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He existed before he came in flesh as very God. The Son of the eternal God, the eternal Son. He came in flesh. So he is God and man in one person. And that is the doctrine of Christ. That's the basic truth of it. Doesn't make any sense, that verse, if you don't see that. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Here is a person who always existed in deity, has come in the flesh. Tremendous truth. And this is that Antichrist, where he had to deny that, is Antichrist. How important to hold fast, to start there. And don't ever get engaged in a discussion with some other religious person that won't come forward and say amen to that. That he came in flesh. That means he existed before he came in flesh. God and man in one person. That is the mystery. God and man in one person. There is no other person in the universe that is God and man in one person but Jesus Christ.
That's the only way we come to know God, is what has been revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, how every doctrine treats him is the perfect litmus test of whether it's right or wrong. If it's not straight concerning him, then it's a wrong source, because God never gives anything in Christ that's wrong.
Well, verse 4, wonderful words. It says, ye are of God. Mr. Garvey just says, children. Ye are of God. Children, we could not be of God if we had not first accepted that Jesus is the Christ, come into the world, the Son, come into the world as Savior. But now, God, as a result of his work for us and in us, has brought us into his family. We're children. And John's epistle is about the family as children of God. If I could use this, if I'm not going too far, God makes us part of the foundation in that way. God is the ultimate source of all good and all that is. And he says, I want you to be part with me as my children. We are of God, his children. What more could a creature ever desire What more of a foundation for eternity could be ours than to be children of God, who is light and who is love? And as we see later in this chapter, in the practical application of it, if I am a child of God, it will be seen, because I manifest the light that belongs to the family of God. I manifest in my life light and love as a child of God. And consequently, when he addresses us here, he says, you hear, you listen, you understand, because you know that if a voice speaks to you as a member, or not even a member because it's not the church here, but you listen as a child. Doesn't a child know its voice of its father, of its mother, or something that isn't that? So it is for us. Our hearts who have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ have come into an enjoyment of something that when we hear something that puts him down, something that makes little of him or denies the truth of his person, there's a response in our heart. There's a pain in our heart. Just a few days ago in the Bible Truth Publishers, there came a woman, and after a conversation that three of us had with her at different times while she was in the building, she walked out the door, and for every one of us, there was a severe pain in our souls for that woman. That woman was so under the power of darkness, she'd come in to buy Bibles. Why? Because she said she didn't believe in God, and through the internet she had made an agreement with somebody else to buy Bibles to burn them. Sad. But the greatest sadness is in the heart of a believer that yearns for a soul like that, that has a pain. Was there a difference in the voice that she brought? She brought the voice of Satan. It wasn't the voice of God, because she knew not God. And it's a terrible, sad thing. The world that is in opposition to God, and for us, don't listen to its voice in anything. We're in the family of God. Ye are of God, children.
The first chapter of John's Gospel, let's look at that for a few minutes, because it brings out the same blessed truth. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, who is that? Well, he tells us who that is. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of anything that had a beginning, the Word was. He was not brought into existence in the beginning, but he was there. And the Word was with God, God the Father, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator. And that wonderful 14th verse. Who is this Word? The Word was made flesh. And that's exactly what John is bringing before them. That is the doctrine of Christ. He is the Word that always was the Word, but then he became flesh. He became a man. And that has to be held, or you don't know who Jesus really is.
The world and the United States, in an increasing way, has formed what it would think of as a charitable tolerance, that every man seeks God and every man can have his own version of God, and it's all one God, and so on and so forth. It's the lie of Satan to man. There is no God except the one true God, who has manifested himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And any religious belief in the world that does not recognize that truth is false. And if we come with, have interaction with a person at school or elsewhere, and they say, I believe in whatever, Allah or whomever, it is not of God. And the soul that is under its power is a power of the world that is pulling that person into eternal darkness. It's such an tremendous thing for us to know the true God and to have the responsibility of light to our fellow man. And if he has any other route in his mind to God but through the Lord Jesus, it is false. And that person knows not God, is not a child of God, and the only voice that he's listening to is the voice of the world behind which Satan is.
It's a beautiful thing as you read the Bible to see the Trinity over and over and over again in the New Testament. He's there sometimes in one single verse, the whole Trinity. The Spirit of God is as much God as the Lord Jesus is or the Father. But the Spirit never became a man, and the Father never became a man. This is the mystery of godliness. He became flesh, and he never ceased to be God forever. That's the doctrine of Christ. And if you don't hold that, you're not a real Christian.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the most exclusive thing possible. It excludes all other options. And the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'd just like to say to the young people, in the day when which we live, when there's so much, we encounter so much in the media, in the internet, in so many ways, the newspaper, everything. Cultivate a love of the truth. It's so important. There's so many options, and sometimes our curious minds want to investigate this line of error, this other line. Occupy your minds with the truth. Any measure you occupy your minds with that which doesn't relate to the truth, it will have a negative effect. Look at a verse in Philippians chapter 4 that we know quite well, I believe, but just to read it, brethren, it's so important in connection with what we occupy our minds with. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's what we're talking about. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So if there's something that fits into the other categories, don't occupy your mind with it. It will have a negative effect. Occupy your mind with that which is the truth.
Just one little added comment to that. Take each one of those things and go into the Word of God and enjoy them in the person of the Lord Jesus. Every one of those virtues is seen in its perfect expression of it in the Lord Jesus. And so to be occupied with Him as just, as pure, as lovely, is the most wonderful occupation. The Spirit of God who dwells in us, who is greater than the world around us, delights to put His Son, God's Son, before our soul in His loveliness in these things.
Sometimes.
The solemn part of it is that these things, these false, erroneous doctrines which attack the blessed person of our Lord were not introduced into heathendom. They're introduced into Christendom. You take 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are familiar with, three types of workmen brought before us there, but I was thinking of verse 17, 1 Corinthians 3, if any man defile the temple of God. Well, those are the false workers, the emissaries of Satan who defile the temple of God. They bring these doctrines calling in question the deity of the Lord Jesus, among other blasphemous teachings. They call in question those fundamental truths. They defile the temple of God. They bring them right into Christendom and insidiously. Satan doesn't always come as a lion. He sometimes comes as an angel of light. And they're introduced into Christendom. Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we have to be on our guard, because these false prophets are all around and deceiving many who make a profession even of Christianity.
Sometimes I have young people ask the question. The question is, how do you deal with people who come with these kind of doctrines? What do you say to them? What do you do with them? And I believe the Word of God gave us answer very plainly in this. Because these are the things that we face. They could come to you. They could come to your school, at work. What do we do? How can we prepare ourselves for this? Let's turn to the second John that we had already. I want to look at a verse that gives us a very simple answer when we are faced with people who bring not the doctrine. Second John, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. That's what it is, isn't it? They come and they tell you that they deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here, they don't bring this doctrine. It says, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. Pretty strong language here, isn't it? We're not to debate it. We're not trying to convince them on that. We have to leave that with the Lord. Don't bring them into your house. You see this Jehovah Witnesses and other groups come knocking on your doors. Please do not let them into your house. It tells us so here. Don't even say goodbye to them. That's how strong the language is. And sometimes we'll say, well, we feel bad for them coming. No, they bring in wicked doctrine.
Read verse 11.
Verse 11. For he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
You can't compromise on that issue. Can't compromise for a moment.
Can't do you.
You can't compromise on that issue.
No.
You have to be absolutely firm. There's different ways the Trinity can be denied. The one is to deny the deity of Christ. The other is to deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. Any one of those. Now, the Jew denies the Trinity, even though his Bible teaches it. They deny it because they deny that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And Jehovah's Witnesses deny that, and they also deny the person of the Holy Spirit. All three persons are God. And if you don't hold that, you're not really a Christian.
think the difficulties is really in the great house. And that's why we have to be careful to walk this path of separations. When we get associated with other Christians, we can get defiled, because often they all walk different paths. I know our time is almost gone. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 just very, very briefly, because the Apostle Paul talked about the foundation that was laid. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we know that the Lord Jesus himself is the foundation. But now here it talks about the works of the believer, and talk about this great house, how there are various kind of work. And verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," notice the groupings here, some we read already, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Well, these are the things that are in the great house, isn't it? Gold, silver, precious stones. Well, look at this verse 3 first. I'm not sure exactly what it's talking about, but I can think of it this way as an application. Gold often speaks of the righteousnesses of God. Well, can we build on and dwell on the righteousnesses of God and the glory of God? Silver. Can we in this house dwell on the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Precious stones. Well, precious stone speaks of one another, isn't it? Precious stone is funny too, because from what I understand, when it first come out from the ground, precious stones are not very pretty, and you need to polish it. I believe it is like a lot of us. We're pretty rough when the way we come out, and we need to polish one another with the word of God. But then the next grouping sounds terrible. These are bad materials that are being built upon this foundation. We have wood, hay, and stubble. And I believe wood speaks of natural things. It speaks of the human side of things, I believe. How much of us, how much of self are we building on? And then hay, I believe, is something that really have no substance. It looks big. It's all puffed up. It's all pride that we have. Do we build on that? Or what's worse is stubble. We'll find that we won't have time. If you turn to Malachi, it tells you about stubble. It speaks of wickedness. And I believe that's what we have before us, the wickedness. We build on that, but rather dwell and be occupied with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ.
Shall we sing number 16 in the appendix? O Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear art thou to me. Our cares or fears assailing, I find my strength in thee. Why should my feet grow weary of this my pilgrim way? Rough though the path and dreary, it ends in perfect day. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.